mankind exist under communist tyranny without the God-given rights of freedom and human dignity.
Dots. I guess there'll always be a few red dots, but I have high hopes that there'll be a lot more green ones than red ones when we're finished.
There can never be an impeachment in the future in this country without a president voluntarily impeaching himself.
Red dots, which are the bad guys, and what our idea is to turn these red dots into yellow dots and turn the yellow dots.
Into the particularity of all these other struggles. That's the kind of web we're trying to spin. My name is Kathy Wilkerson. My political history began in 1962. I went to a picket line outside of Woolworths in Cambridge, Maryland, and heard Gloria Richardson speak. And for me, that was the beginning of realizing there was a struggle going on that had deep importance for everybody's life.
I have impeached myself. Speaks for itself.
How do you mean I have impeached myself?
By resigning.
And including mine. But I was still somewhat of a spectator until 64 when I went on a picket line against segregated schools in Chester, Pennsylvania.
Financially and intelligence-wise, to do anything we wanted to with two or more people's approval, myself and, let's say, one other or another agent. And I felt they put into you enough that they're bad guys. We have to get rid of them at any cost. And so, therefore, everything's okay. And, you know, don't worry about any of the wiretappings or the drug setups or the weapon setups. So I felt that if we had to get them, we had to get them.
Convention tomorrow?
You bet.
Hey, how about you, Harry?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll have a party like we did 2 years ago, huh? Huh? Hey, Stan. Let's see.
Okay.
Should have seen it, though. These new microphones are just incredible. They really, I couldn't hardly believe it myself. We were over 200 yards away.
We're putting
red dots, green dots, and yellow dots up on the map, wherever there is a store.
Was a voluntary impeachment. And now what does that mean in terms of whether I, you're wanting me to say that I am participated in an illegal cover-up? No. Now, when you come to the period, and this is the critical period, when you come to the period of March 21st on, when Dean gave his legal opinion that certain things, actions taken by
don't let them touch her, David. Don't let them touch her. Don't let them touch her.
Please.
What are you going to do? Please listen to me.
Please leave the city. Please, Jeffrey.
David, please let us go. We won't
leave
the
city.
We won't
have to leave the city. Nothing changes. You can have the same life, the same clothes, the same car.
But what happens to us?
You'll be born again into an untroubled world. Free of anxiety, fear.
Wait.
Hate.
David, you're killing us.
That's not true. David's right. Your minds and memories will be totally absorbed. Everything remains intact.
You've never agreed with him in your life before. What are you talking about?
Honor Blackman, aka Pussy Galore, right? What a total fucking misnomer. I mean, I'm gonna touch her with yours.
I want to try it, Mark. You're always going on about how, like it's the ultimate hit and that. Better than sex. Come on, man, I'm a fucking adult. I can find out for myself. I've got the money.
My shiny new bike, and I had to ride my stupid old hand-me-down bike. There's a threat to that kid in your neighborhood when you were 5 or 6 or 10. You were so jealous of so-and-so. They won this competition in high school. There's a thread still connected to that boy, that girl. Even if you think you've forgotten, the threads are still connected, and you're losing power, people, and you are bound to them. You know this on some level. You know it absolutely. Because so often people feel if you're not jealous, you could lose. I gotta be jealous of the love. I gotta be jealous of this man, this woman that I love. I gotta be jealous of their friends. I gotta be jealous of their time. I gotta be jealous of everything they do other than with me. Because if I'm not, I could lose them. And that is an intuitive, almost cellular knowing that you know these threads, these fibers are coming out of you, locking them, imprisoning them, holding them in place. And you hope that that somehow can make your relationship work. If I'm jealous enough, if I'm envious enough, if upon occasion I blow up and let off steam and blah, all my rage, that somehow that'll show them how much I love. That'll show them how much I care. That'll keep them close. But you see, it does connect you. These fibers. Also, with jealousy. Jealousy throws you back into your pattern of fear. The pattern of fear we spoke of, what seems so long ago now in January. When we talked about transforming personal fear into amazing success, we suggested, separate from Enneagram patterns of personality, there are patterns of fear that each of you has. You use many of them, you have your favorite. But the patterns of fear, jealousy throws you back in. When you're feeling jealous, you are thrown back into your pattern of fear. Even if you've worked to transform it, even if you've worked to get out of it, even if you've worked to change it, you're thrown back into it. Some of you are thrown back into the fear that you'll be abandoned and humiliated or betrayed and rejected. Others are you thrown back into the feeling that you're going to be blamed, you're going to be blamed, you know it, you know it, you know it, you're going to be held responsible for something you didn't do, you're going to be burdened with things you can't possibly handle, you just know it, you just know it. Others of you are going to feel as though, I got to be perfect, I got to be perfect, I got to do it perfectly or I won't be loved, I won't be accepted. Others of you feel that your deficiencies, the fact that you really are flawed, will trip you up. Even if I've been doing great so far, I know, I'm going to trip up. I'm going to fall. I'm going to make a huge mistake because I'm defective. I'm some sort of an emotional cripple. I'm some sort of reject of the human race. Others of you absolutely convinced that the only way you've got to be entitled, you've got to somehow figure out and get some entitlements here because you can't do it any other way. Others of you feeling that sense of dependency, thrown back into that feeling of devastation, and yet others of you absolutely convinced that you will be excluded, that you will be alienated, or any combination hereof. Jealousy, when you get jealous of somebody, they have what I want. They have something I want. It throws you back. Not just any jealousy, mind you, we're talking about the unspoken, the unresolved. That jealousy robs you of your power. These tentacles come out and lock you into that person. These tentacles, squiggly wiggly filaments, fiber optics of energy, connect you inextricably until you disconnect.
And was arrested for the first time and found out that even the jails were segregated.
It's pretty dangerous. You better be careful. There's a lot of bad people out there, huh?
Mm-hmm. And those people don't have the respect of the interrelated families.
Mm-hmm.
They have no respect for the Longhouse government, which exists today, and it has been for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
To be a people who adhere to a white government.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask Chief Swamp here. Chief, how would the Longhouse government attempt to resolve this crisis over casinos and gaming in the Akwesasne, the St. Regis Reservation, as the U.S. government calls it?
Well, our government has included within the government is a structure to deal with how to settle problems, and that is through the clan system, through the clan family lines. But it makes it difficult today because we have been so fragmented by the two governments that colonized us from before. But today, our people are trying to relearn their history and to return home, as to say.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Deere, is the key to the solution of this conflict a return to traditional Longhouse government and Longhouse institutions?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Because in the opening, you mentioned the founder of our government, and I'll just refer to him as the peacemaker.
Yes, I understand that I'm not allowed to use the name that I used.
Right. So I'll refer to him as the peacemaker. Now, if we go back in history, there was a time when our people were warring amongst themselves. Now, he was a messenger from the Great Spirit that brought peace amongst our people. And in that teaching and in that philosophy, it tells us that we are no longer going to ever uproot the weapons of war to create war amongst ourselves. Because that was one of the teachings and the philosophy that he gave to us. Now, in this day and age, this is what is happening amongst our people. So if we maintain that we are traditional people, that we are Longhouse people, then even though we may have differences, the avenue for us to take is the power of reason, of good mind, sit down around a fire, a council fire, and for us to use logical thinking, the power of reason, to discuss.
You're killing me. David.
I want somebody in transportation to report to the Grove Street Turnabout.
David!
Say violence is necessary. Violence is a part of America's culture. It is as American as cherry pie. American taught the black people to be violent. We will use that violence to rid ourselves of oppression if necessary. We will be free by any means necessary.
After the stores that don't advertise with us at all. The green dots are the ones that advertise with us every week, and the yellow dots are the ones that we run sporadically.
In bed?
I did. I was asleep. It woke me up. There was a bright light that lit up everything, and that lantern right out there.
You were dreaming. If a meteor fell, it would have wakened people up for miles around.
But it didn't fall, it landed. I saw it. I don't know what it was, Dad. A spaceship or something.
How big was it?
As big as...
An aeroplane?
Bigger!
Well, there's nothing out there now, is there?
Not now, but there was. I saw it.
You come on, climb in bed, son. Now look, son, you know this is all your imagination, don't you?
But I saw it. Well,
what did it look like?
Well, I can't say exactly. First there was this light, then it faded, then there's a humming noise.
Look, I tell you what we'll do the first thing when we get up. We'll go out and take a look. If there's any flying saucer out there, we'll notify General Mayberry. Now, how's that?
But...
In the morning.
Okay.
That's the fellow. Good night now.
See this snow, or these trees, or this rain, and I'll no longer be here. And it's a strange feeling, and yet it's the way life is.
What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen with the soul, or what's it?
Everything.
I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell
you. What were you saying?
I said the worms crawling. The worms forever. Crawling.
What does that mean?
They turn. You know what they say when you die. They turn your guts into sauerkraut. We used to sing that when we were kids.
What is that? I'm sorry.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They turn your guts into sauerkraut. We used to sing that when we were kids.
Fine. I never thought of that subject. I'm being serious. I never did. I never gave it any thought. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe, you know, I don't want to think about it. I don't know. But I just don't. Do you?
What's the matter, dear?
You go on back to sleep, Mary.
David, all right?
Oh, yes, sure. I'm sorry I woke you.
Then what are you doing now?
Oh, nothing. I'll be back in a few minutes.
George, what is it?
Well, David says that he saw something land in the fields out back. It doesn't make sense, but he seems so convinced.
What does he mean, land?
Well, he said he saw a bright light or something, and well, he's not the type of boy that's given to imagining things, you know. After all, the work at the plant is secret, and we have orders to report anything unusual. And there have been rumors.
Rumors?
Oh, Mary, you know I can't talk about that. I better go out and take a look.
Was able by damn hard work. He really worked to make it happen. But he was able to get these rhythms into his prose by listening, by being open, and by hearing the jazz, which filled his life.
The beat subculture exploded into public view for the first time with lurid headlines that would shock the city. David Kammerer followed Lucien Carr from the West End bar after a night of drinking. Kammerer, a homosexual friend of William Burroughs, had been pursuing Lucien Carr relentlessly with his overtures of love since childhood. To his friend Kerouac for help, which landed Jack in the Bronx jail as an accomplice to the murder. Edie Parker called the executor of her trust fund, who refused to bail Kerouac out unless he married Edie. They were wed in the custody of a Bronx detective.
And he asked my mother for $100 for he and I to go back to Grosse Pointe. And by the way, we sat in the baggage car because it was so crowded on the trains back then. And he sat on a casket of a soldier with a flag on it. He lived there with the dog, two cats, my mother, and my sister and I. And every single day of his life there, when he was there, he'd go to the bathroom for 4 hours and read Shakespeare and the Bible. And we never could get in.
Oh,
considered myself a good spy. I would be given a name of a student or a professor or a teaching assistant, and I would try to develop a relationship with this person and try to get them to say to me statements concerning U.S. involvement in Vietnam and Southeast Asia. I was to infiltrate student groups to get copies of propaganda, meeting times, protest posters, this kind of thing.
You're friendly spy on campus.
But you pump them up so much. I mean, you gotta remember, a lot of the guys are using drugs. I mean, you know, you start doing a lot of crank and a lot of tooth, you know, you start to lose touch with reality eventually. I mean, here's this guy, he's supposed to be good, he's got a badge, he's got long hair and a beard, and he carries, you know, 357 Magnum and a sawed-off shotgun. He says, hey, I have the right to take a human life. You know, I mean, the guy gets all psyched up. He sees some angel, you know, cruising down the highway, decides, let's get him. He's an angel. We're right. We're a secret little group. These don't know. My watch commander doesn't know. Nobody knows. You know, we're really secret, you know, and we're high up. So therefore, we got to keep our camaraderie, our brotherhood together, you know, and we're the ones. We're in the front lines. They're not, and they don't know about it.
Now, we have computer printouts of every one of these stores, and what we do is we take the printouts of all the red dots, which are the bad guys, and what our idea is to turn these red dots into yellow dots and turn the yellow dots into green dots and eventually make them all green dots, so 100% of the stores and 100% of the merchants and the service people.
Really distinctly the day that I walked down a hall at school, and there was a poster on the bulletin board, and it was a leaflet that had been put out by a black community group in Chester, Pennsylvania that was fighting for integrating the schools. The word around was that people were going to be arrested, and I remember standing and staring at that leaflet and knowing absolutely that this was the time when I had to make a decision in my life.
Mrs. McLean, where is your son now?
He's still asleep. I didn't want to wake him.
And your husband just put on his robe and slippers, walked out into those fields and disappeared.
I know it sounds insane, but if you'll only look and see if you can't
find him. Mrs. McLean, did your husband ever disappear like this before?
Of course he never disappeared.
Well, now, look, no offense, but you know how these scientists are sometimes. They're
my husband is a designer, an engineer, not a comic book professor. Please, if you'll only stop talking and go and look.
Okay, lady, okay. We have to know all the facts. We've got to make a report to headquarters, you know. Let's go, boy.
Nuts. And they said, look, if you don't watch this film, and you're wasting time, by the way, because the 30 minutes is going, we're not talking to you.
The American ambassador, John Burke, was equally unwilling to discuss the matter with the relatives.
I would like to have this opportunity to talk together in a candid way because there are sensitive considerations and legal considerations involved.
The American immigrant was a bastard, and I hope he see this. And we had birth certificates, pictures, everything to show that we was the parents of those two boys. And he was no help whatsoever.
His demeanor was always, you know, what's the problem here, folks? There's, you know, there's nothing going on. We're keeping track. We haven't seen anything that's, you know, they have one gun license to them. And, you know, I don't know what your concerns are. They're really, I mean, it was just, they always just put us off.
Leading the concerned relatives was their local congressman, Leo Ryan. He, too, was kept in the dark. While his requests for information were refused on the grounds of privacy, the local U.S. embassy kept Jones informed of all the questions Ryan was asking.
but I intend to keep pushing as long as I'm here.
Well, he was such a kind man, so compassionate. Didn't get excited about nothing.
Another long enough to nominate some man or some anything.
General,
so let's
get up, play.
Let's get down to it.
General Play.
And thank you. Not his day.
Excuse me, I have a message here. Is there a caucus of rats in the air conditioning system?
Walter,
can't hear you, Eric.
Walter, have you any opinion on all we've heard so far?
And hear you, Eric, but it does now seem that, yes, we'll soon be reestablishing contact with Charles B. Smith at the Forbidden City at Monster Island, where presumably the president has finally stopped crying and is preparing himself for the evening launch attempt. We'll go out to launch,
or whatever happens. And now, here's more from the convention. After your local station's most important message.
Arrested, I knew what the consequences were. I knew in terms of everything I had been programmed to do for the rest of my life.
You know, these new microphones are just incredible. They really, I couldn't hardly believe it myself.
Well, there ain't nobody out here, that's for sure.
Flying saucers, disappearing scientists. What next?
Come on, let's go back. He ain't out here.
Well, that suits me. I could use some coffee.
George McLean.
Then the guy was out here.
Yeah, you take the north side. I'll take this.
Yeah. There goes the coffee.
Uh-huh.
Jackson. Jackson! Hey, Jackson, where did you go?
Meeting times, protest posters, this kind of thing. Your friendly spy on campus.
I couldn't hardly believe it myself. We were over 200 yards away. It was absolutely readable. I broke in a couple of newsreel cameramen. And you should have been there, Bernie. It was really...
What did they do?
Well, they took the crosshairs of the telescope and they lined it up on the mouth.
No, the boy and the girl. What did they do?
Oh, I don't know.
Hi, Mom.
Good morning, dear.
Did you have a good sleep?
Gosh, yes.
What time is it?
It must be nearly 8.
Where's Dad?
He left early.
Oh, gosh. Dad promised we'd go out.
David, don't cuss this morning. Mother's tired.
Any chance for a cup of coffee?
George, you're safe. I was so worried.
What happened? I thought he'd gone to the plant.
Never mind, David. What did happen to you?
I stopped over to see Bill Wilson.
In your pajamas?
In my pajamas, obviously.
But...
Period.
Where's your other slipper?
I said period.
Well, I guess we'd better tell those policemen.
What policemen?
I was so worried, George, I called the police. They're out there looking for you now. Go and call them, David, and tell them that
you're...
You
stay where you are. Are they out there now?
Yes. What happened, George? What is it?
I wish you'd please learn to mind your own business.
Sorry.
Those policemen, they'll ask questions, and I can't.
Well, what if they do? Why can't you tell
them? Am I going to get my coffee?
You die. I mean, I think that's it. But maybe we'll be surprised.
Kenny Irwin comes in. Now, Kenny Irwin's crew and the Havilly team, they're going to put two rounds of bite into the right side. They're also just taking...
heart disease. They're telling you now, get your ass off of the tap water, because what may be coated for your melanin butt may be put in the water. Be careful about brushing your teeth, taking your showers. Don't underestimate the chemical attack, because it will make the physical attack easier.
Call vanilla sex. It's not missionary style. It's not necessarily a man and a woman. It's not necessarily intercourse. It's not necessarily an orgasm. But there is sexuality involved, or eroticism. I prefer the word eroticism.
Throws you likewise back, throws you back into your own patterns of fear. These are the reasons we say jealousy is crippling. Jealousy is paralyzing. But people, it's also addictive. It's also addictive because when you are locked in jealousy, unspoken, when you won't speak it and resolve your jealousies, and therefore the unspoken emotion of jealousy, it robs you of expectation. We talked of that in February. Expectation. It robs you. And therefore you end up without expectation, living in potential. Always a plan, always a dream, always gonna happen. Never does. You live in a world of fantasy that never quite turns into fantasia, but instead deteriorates. Deteriorates. Into delusion. You find yourself always frustrated, always angry, always resenting, and many times bitter. You find yourself righteous in your blame and blaming. You find yourself in states of fear, making fear choices, states of avoidance and denial. Finding yourself often dealing with intermittent success, never consistent, dealing with faulty mediocrity and even failure. See, without expectation, you end up in these places, often feeling envy, often feeling rage, because it robs you of expectation, it takes it away, and you gotta have something there. So you end up having jealousy. I imagine, I desire, I feel jealous. Those are my tools. Imagination, desire, and jealousy. Of course it has to become a secret inspiration. Of course it has to become a secret motivation, because I can't get by with just desire and imagination. I need something to fill the slot. And when I'm riddled with the unspoken jealousy, and again, we're separating it from the stuff you speak and resolve. Of course you get jealous of time. But if you speak it and resolve it, then it's not unspoken, is it? That's not the emotion. We're talking about that kind of jealousy that doesn't get spoken. That's the stuff that robs you of expectation and supplants it. And thus you end up imagining, desiring, and being jealous. Always in potential.
The best interests of my country. But as I got to know the Cuban people personally and ended up getting married to a Cuban, I started to change my attitude toward them very quickly. Frightening thing that ever happened to me in Havana was when the Cuban counterintelligence people actually decided they had enough, and they came to my house and detained me.
Say, Dad, when you're out there, did you see anything?
Let's not start that flying saucer nonsense again. Now, what do you want?
What happened to your net? It looks like there's a...
Nothing. I caught it on a barbed wire fence.
Barbed wire? There isn't any barbed wire
between... I caught it on barbed wire, I said! You get your clothes off.
Come to... Yes, David, hurry and get dressed. I want you to do some errands. I'm sorry that I...
Cursed your husband? Yes, I'm George McClane. I'm sorry my wife put you to so much trouble.
Think nothing of it.
You feel all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, then we won't report this.
We'll forget the entire matter, won't we, Mary?
Yes. Won't you have some coffee?
Don't be silly, Mary. These gentlemen have some important work.
Yeah, you too.
Yes, I know.
We'll see you around.
What are you gaping at?
What were those men talking about? As though you were in some kind of a plot together.
Don't talk nonsense, Mary. Thought I told you to get dressed.
Bedroom.
eventually I was arrested and accused of espionage.
Listen, you got a boyfriend or,
No.
How come?
Why is it school jerks? They're mean to me.
Thanks for watching me frig myself.
Thanks for watching me what?
Frig myself.
Frig?
and it'll only be an internet if everybody's on it. You know, it's like, what makes the blood so good in the human body? Well, the fact that every cell eats from it. You know, if every cell didn't eat from the blood, a lot of cells would die, and then the blood would get weaker, and it wouldn't be any big deal. You know, because the body would.
Absolutely, positively gorgeous.
You're beautiful.
Yes, I'm beautiful.
In Newton, only the beautiful, only the lonely. Add them together, divide by, let's say 2 and 2 squared. Do that about 500 million times under 1. Multiply by itself over 1. Add your secret number. One digit, and call it in, see if you win. You might have won, because I can't tell you if the prize is good for you or not. It could be a punishment, or it could be a special prize of goodness for you. That's between you and your Mercury, or your intuition, your secret line of intuitive knowing. That we all have, of course, which is the X factor in the algebra of the thing. It's for you to know and everyone else to feel out. Here on the Big Z, the factory audio signal line, on its network, I assume you're on that network, or you wouldn't be hearing me now, as the saying goes. To use a well-worn language of logic. I hate to do that, but there's a gun to my head. Here in Newton, home of the held handgun. More handguns in the homes of Newton than any other municipality other than East Swahili Land, which is a nickname for an interior metro district in London where they got a lot of handguns. Let me tell you, I've been there. I've gambled there. I've loved there. And I've lost there. Not the ultimate loss, of course, because then I couldn't be using the English language and the radio technology to address you tonight. Now, could I? You're an American. You're an absolutist, hierarchical thinker. You have enchained yourself in linear logic. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to spell it out for you. I don't have to spit on you now, do I? Boy, would I like to. I want to get you really bad. And I'm not kidding. I'm in a good mood. I'm on the radio. It's like when they ask people in a traffic jam for the local news on TV if they're upset. No one's ever upset. They're always very happy to be on TV. So where'd that upset go? That's the question I have. And I know you can't answer it for me. I have nowhere to turn for the answer, but inward, of course. Forever inward and downward. And some answers do echo from below. They do. And entities actually form. And assume virtual for, in this case for me, could be you. It's a scenario out of 2001 where the spaceman was cast adrift by the computer. Cut off and cast into space. Not necessarily certain death, but certain cast-offness. Certain abandonedness. Aloneness. Could be alienation, not necessarily. Could be negative, could be positive. Not necessarily. Don't think absolutist, you dumb American, you. Unless you live in Newton, of course. Where I won't say anything bad because there are certain laws of the jungle that do pertain. Like blowing my freaking brains out. Excuse me, I'm getting upset. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, a man upset. Hopefully I can make you upset, or worse. Perhaps I can even acknowledge your existence. I hope not. That's why I have radio between me and you. The opposite of TV. The opposite of relating to you. On radio. Through radio, through the membrane, translated at least two times and therefore 199% pure of you. And that's what I honestly think of you. All of you out there, of course. I'm an absolute thinker, too.
Yeah.
Do you have sex while you're doing it?
No, only with my primary partner sometimes.
So you mean in S&M?
It's not an explicit sex act always.
Thank you.
just a charge of power or a sense of power.
My current position. Too choppy. Can you please secure a position for me at the UN as the GS 12 or 13, beginning 1 December? I'd like to give my 2 weeks notice as soon as possible and have some time to get myself together.
Doesn't make sense. How can a slut be beautiful, you know? I mean, the Mona Lisa is beautiful. The Statue of Liberty is beautiful. The Grand Canyon, the first day of spring, a new fallen snow. That's beauty. But a slut is just slutty, right?
Cutting that one. They're having too much fun in that tape. Here's some Spike Lee. That's a little harder. In fact, a lot harder.
You know?
Yes.
Did you miss me?
Kind of.
I missed you. You know, I really opened up to you. I've opened my heart up to you. Trust you.
You do?
I do, absolutely.
You okay? It'll be fine. Just take it easy. It'll be fine. That's just the way he was.
For some...
The man named Dwyer was the head of the CIA here. I mean, the CIA had a presence here. It was an unrevealed presence at the time.
You're having a good time.
So far, so good.
You have a lot of fantasies, unfulfilled fantasies. You desire to be a slave?
Yes, mister.
Do you know what it truly means to be a slave?
Not yet, mister. Not yet, mister.
And second off, or they came in and shot him to make sure he wasn't conscious enough to defend himself.
And that was a process we went through to get there. Can you hear that?
I'm not intending to try and stir you up and make you do something that you wouldn't have done anyway. I pray that God will bless you in everything that you do. I pray that you will grow intellectually, so that you can understand the problems of the world and where you fit into in that world picture. And I pray that all the fear that has ever been in your heart will be taken out. And when you look at that man, if you know he's nothing but a coward, you won't fear him. If he wasn't a coward, he wouldn't gang up on you. He wouldn't need to figure out. they function. They function in mobs. That's a coward. They put on a sheet so you won't know who they are. That's a coward. The time will come when that sheet will be ripped off. If the federal government doesn't take it off, we'll take it off.
So it taught me a lot about not using the spiritual cop-out up-level to avoid the pain.
Why is that? What is that about Earth that is so involving? Hypnotic, addictive, mesmerizing, fascinating, impassioned. Surrounded with amnesia. Now that is one neat mother effing concept, man. You better dig it, or I'm going to come to your house and slap you silly. Except in Newton, of course.
My name is Bernadine Dorn. One of the first political things I remember growing up is watching the Army McCarthy hearings on television, watching my mother ironing day after day and watching these hearings. My parents were Midwest Republicans. They voted for Joe McCarthy. And it wasn't until 8 years later that these ideas began to be really challenged for me. But I knew that taking the first step would change my life. And I hesitated for a long time. The first demonstration I took part in was an anti-HUAC demonstration. And then increasingly, I became involved in organizing work in Chicago and joined the open housing drives for equal housing rights that took place on the west side of Chicago in 1966.
The force of our soul, mobilize bodies in concern for justice. Somehow we're going to step out here tomorrow. We're going to take the ammunition of determination. We're going to move out with the weapons of courage. We're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness and the whole armor of God, and we're going to march over this city.
Black people of Chicago demonstrated day after day.
Oh, they are, huh?
Yeah.
You're pretty nasty. I'm surprised. Maybe you just don't know what guys like.
What do guys like?
Let me show you. There you go.
What's that?
It's my one-eyed trouser snake.
To find the balancing of listening to the separateness and then hearing the unity that's within the diversity and honoring this balance. Again, a balancing act.
For me at the UN is the GS 12 or 13, beginning 1 December. I'd like to give my 2 weeks' notice as soon as possible and have some time to get myself together. My roommate, aka my mom, has recently taken an apartment in New York, and we are in the process of looking for something else in D.C. So it doesn't look like I can stay here. I need something before we make any more commitments here. Handsome, you have been distant the past few months and shut me out. I don't know why. Is it that you don't like me anymore, or are you scared? Please let me come see you this evening or Thursday night. I want to hear it. I want to hear it from you. No one else. I don't think it is asking too much after all that has happened to ask to have this discussion in person.
Brilliant, except for the one part.
Which one part?
If you put a 12 or 13 there, I am going to throw up.
Okay. Well, I don't have to put it. What do you mean?
Oh, Monica, Monica, Monica.
Relatives were about to depart for Jonestown. Jones himself was slipping deeper into a drug-induced paranoia.
And now it's time for the good part.
I'm scared.
Well, I'll be quick, and you'll be much happier when it's over.
After your local station's most important message.
I will admit that acting as lawyer for their defense, I was not prosecuting the case. I will admit that during that period, rather than acting primarily in my role as the chief and law enforcement officer of the United States of America, or at least with responsibility for law enforcement, because the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer, but as the one with the chief responsibility for seeing that the laws of the United States are enforced,
fantasies that deteriorate to delusions, never becoming fantasias. Frustrated, angry, resenting, bitter, blaming, righteous. Feeling envious, feeling rage. Avoiding, denying, fear and fear choices. Your successes are at best intermittent, most often faulty.
Well, that's what I'm here for, is to teach you. I want you to kneel. Head down, eyes to the ground. Any time one of your superiors, that would be myself or a master, or a curator walks into the room, you are to assume the position, and you are never to make eye contact. Do you understand? Good her to show respect at all times. And if I feel that you're good enough and you train well enough, I can train you to be a pleasure slave. I think you might find that very enjoyable. Position of the pleasure slave is back on your haunches like this, legs spread open.
Strange. I mean, really, you think about it. I don't know of any clubhouse anywhere.
Seems as though they're unnaturally attracted to us. Niggers start out white, and niggers just seem to flock to us.
I can't understand it. We had another clubhouse in town. They condemned it. They said, it was right smack in the middle of them. I mean, right there in it, you know. They condemned it, so we'd have to move out. I'm telling you, with a big, thick white center.
November 29th, 1979. Jurors in the ongoing Hell's Angels racketeering trial today heard testimony from key prosecution witness Thomas Big Red Bryant. A former Hell's Angel, Bryant has been provided immunity from prosecution himself. Defense attorneys are attempting to find out whether Bryant has been paid for his appearance at the controversial trial.
Many of them have these swastikas, SS, Geheimstaatspolizei, as they say in German. All sorts of outlandish insignia on their jacket.
This is an SS patch. It's an original one. It was a gift from a brother. And it's got a lot of bearing. It was a gift. You know, what it meant at the time, it was the elite of its core.
No way can I see us relating to what happened in Germany during the Second World War.
You know, you say we're fascistic, we're anti-Semitic or whatever. Well, I guess I'm the proof that we ain't. You know, because I'm Jewish and I sure ain't a fascist and I sure ain't anti-Semitic because I don't hate myself, you know?
Well, my brother,
you know, I don't give a damn what it means as long as a brother gives it to me, I want to wear it.
My brother's wearing it. I said, shit power. And they had to open his patch and show me the W-I and W-H-I-T. So it's white power.
Okay, yeah, that's where it belongs anyway.
Yeah, well, what's that got to do with the swastika?
Don't fuck up, will you? I can't. Hey, it started a long time ago, Harry.
What? Oh, yeah? Then it would say German power, wouldn't it?
No. White is right.
Watch out, here comes.
Here comes Ron. Here comes. Might be beautiful, but motherfucking red is way ahead,
right? I don't see why we can't all live in this society, but let's quit trying to cram each other down each other's throats and trying to make us accept things that we don't want to accept, you know?
My first reaction was, well, you know, these are potential Nazis, little fascists. That's not true.
Show us respect, you get treated with respect.
Jack's turbulent introspection forced him to leave the Parker home in Grosse Pointe, thus bringing his marriage to an end. He returned to New York. There he collaborated with William Burroughs on a novel entitled The Hippos Were Boiled in Their Tanks.
The impulse were boiled in their tanks, yes. The title came from a radio broadcast that occurred while we were working on this opus. And describing a fire in a zoo when the hippos were boiled in their tanks, I think, was the end of the broadcast, and so we used that as our title. We sort of wrote alternative chapters. I'd write a chapter, and Jack would write a chapter.
So the master or mistress may admire the slave. It has easy access to the various parts of the body. And to show your appreciation, you can start by cleaning my boots. Kneel on the ground. I want you to stick your tongue out and lavish that tongue on my boot. Surprised? That's all part of it. I want you to assist me. I want you to warm up her ass. Slowly. She's a virgin. Continue licking my boots. And if you stop, you'll really feel some pain. Easy, don't wear her out. She's got a lot of boot here to work on.
Well, what is it?
I was just looking for Mom.
She's dressing. What do you want?
Nothing.
What are you up to?
Nothing, just playing.
Get over to Andy's house and play there. David? Come here. I want to warn you. Don't go spreading stories about things you imagined out in those fields. Understand?
Just a friendly family-style show tonight. Nothing too heavy. If it sounds or feels heavy, just realize that you can trust me, that I'll round off all the corners, bring it all back home for you. And this will be happening macro and micro temporally. So you're never going to go too far without a helping hand and some high concept to boost your morale and keep you wholesome. Skills I learned a long time ago when I was a 4-H club member in my home state. Long way from here. You notice I have no Massachusetts speech impediments like you people have. And I learned various things in the 4-H club, even though I knew I wasn't going to have a career in animal husbandry or anything, at least not professionally. Maybe on an amateur level at home, but I won't go into that on the air. And I try to employ those concepts in my show, New Metaphysics, most of the time. Sometimes I get a little dangerous. So I just want to assure you, tonight isn't one of those nights. All will be protected and safe. For the concepts and ideals we as a people all stand for and will not allow to be transfigured or transubstantiated in any possible way, even a spiritual way, or that so-called spiritual thing that's going on now. That's all. Just a pledge to you, morons and lemmings that you are. Believe anything.
What was that?
Your son said he was going over to Andy's.
Well, should we go into town?
I want you to come outside first, then. Something I want to show you.
That reference to sleep, to losing conscious awareness, to some sort of amnesia, perhaps a looping memory, addiction, perhaps a constant beating of some stimulants at a regular rate, thus sleep-inducing, lowering the frequencies of the brain frequency. You've probably heard about by now, even here in Massachusetts. If it gets below six or so, six or eight, you start to have an altered state, if you will, an altered united state of some kind. Anti-American, dangerous kind of activity going on in the audio-video cortex. And trouble, of course, because the very skills and strengths that you have as a human being to act upon the alien environment you find yourselves in here in time space become somewhat co-opted, if you will. And the very ability to self-reference and know where you stand relative to that outside world becomes somewhat jaded and penumbrated, foreshadowed, perhaps. Lost in the details. Done with mirrors. Distracting, perhaps, passionate, impassioning, OCD potentiized, and you may fall asleep at the wheel, my friend. I dare say you are asleep at the wheel as we communicate together right now. And you don't know it because, as I said earlier, you can't know what you're doing. Things start to shift. You know the drill. you love that drill too, or you wouldn't be here this life. So listen for the repeating, at least two, preferably three, repetitions, echoes from the grassy knoll of your temporal lobe. That's right. They all run together like scrambled brains for eggs today in the 90s. And tomorrow beyond, of course. It all runs together like a collage. A French invention for scrambled brains. And you don't know where you are, what you're doing, or why. And you can ask the question three times, which is the rule in the universe, and you still can't find out because special rules apply down here. Or didn't you know that yet? This is a no-fly zone for aliens. Relatively speaking, can't keep everything out, but it's a special experiment going on here by you and for you and of you, the people. And it can be very dangerous, I don't have to tell you.
David, he won't be home until this afternoon. He's out of town. What is it?
Out of town? Are you sure, Mrs. Wilson? My father said he saw him just this morning.
You must be mistaken, dear. You're the first person who's been around here today. Something the matter?
Mrs. Wilson, Kathy's gone.
Gone? Whatever are you talking about?
Out by the sand pit. I saw it through the telescope. The ground opened up and something pulled her down.
David, talk sense. Where is she? What's happened to her?
that?
Out by the sand pit. I saw it through the telescope. The ground opened up and something pulled her down.
Talking about?
Out by the sand pit. I saw it through the telescope. The ground opened up and something pulled her down.
There you go.
What's that?
It's my one-eyed trouser snake. Go ahead and pet him. Watch him grow. There you go. You ever touch one of those before?
Off to the telescope. The ground opened up and something pulled her down.
David, talk sense. Where is she? What's happened to her?
It's the truth. Honest, Mrs. Wilson. There's something out there.
David, answer me. Where is she?
Nothing, Mother. I just picked you some flowers.
Oh, David, how could you coming in here and scaring me to death?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Wilson.
I should think you would be, making up a story like
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. Miss Wilson, your house is on fire!
Now, David McLean, I've...
Won't help. Someone's built gasoline down there and the fire's spreading all over the place.
That's impossible. We keep our spare gasoline in the garage.
There's a can of gasoline on his side down there with the top off, and that's what's burning.
Kathy, were you playing in the cellar?
No, Mama.
And this interest, I mean, the music, the dancing, the popular styles, and so on.
The Hollywood Jews may have wanted to marry into white America, but when it came to music, Jewish composers looked to black America. Harold Arlen, the son of a liturgical singer, or cantor, became one of the foremost popularizers of the blues.
Jews served as
as messengers, in essence, of black culture. They took it, they consumed it, they integrated it into their own cultural repertoire, and then introduced it to white America that was essentially willing to listen to Jews and to partake of what Jews had to offer in a way that they never would from blacks.
First on Broadway and later in the Hollywood musical, this was the way Jewish music often sounded.
Behind him, he was now creating timeless music. Miles and his great quintet of Philly Joe Jones, Paul Chambers, Red Garland, and John Coltrane worked intensely.
What land?
A spaceship or something. I saw it.
You being funny?
No, it's the truth, I tell you. And the policemen, two of them, they did the same thing to them.
Who did what?
Please, Jim, you gotta believe me. We've gotta help him. We've gotta help Dad.
All right, David. Just take it easy.
Where are you going?
You just wait here. I'm gonna make a phone call.
You're gonna call Dad? No, you mustn't.
Don't worry. I'll be right back.
The chief, huh? Must be very important.
Please, you don't understand. I gotta see him.
Now, settle down, son. What's the trouble? You can tell me.
No, I gotta see the chief.
That's what I'm here for. Anybody who wants to see the chief has to tell me why first.
I can't. There's no time. Besides, oh, please, let me... It's you wouldn't believe me and...
Well, what makes you think the chief will?
What's the trouble, Mac?
You got me. The kid here's got something so important that he can't tell anybody but you, on account of I wouldn't believe him.
Are you the chief?
That's me. What can I do for you?
I want to talk to you alone.
In here. What's on your mind?
Well, sir, it's kind of hard to explain, but...
Start at the beginning. What's your name?
David McLean, sir.
Are you George McLean's boy?
Yes, sir. But I don't want my father to know about it.
Finley, come in here.
Let me go! Let me out of here! They got him! I saw it! He'll kill him if I tell!
Put him in the detention room. I'll have his old man come and get him.
What's biting him?
He's out of his mind, that's what.
Come on, son. Settle down. Take it easy.
It's on his neck, too. Please don't let my father get me. Please don't let him send for my father. They'll drag me down like they kill me. I know they will.
You leaving?
Lock that crazy kid up?
Yeah. He's really scared. You think maybe we ought to...
This old man will take care of him. If he doesn't answer the phone, I'll go out and find him.
Take care of him.
harsh slowing. It's like that the 47 car cut a tire because he makes contact with the wall. And there's a piece of debris on the racetrack. Oh, man, these guys have not stopped. Could get a caution flag. Very interesting situation. At the front of the field right now is Michael Waltrip in the Wood Brothers car. Now, if the caution does come out, how will this be an advantage for these guys?
Said they'd build them furnaces again if you don't develop an analytical mind. But what the essence of the story is how the white boys knew so long before they told the people that the water was bad, just like the Germans knew that the blood was bad.
Yes.
Don't be trapped by old concepts. Master, you're evolving into a new life form. Come and watch. We came here from a dying world. We drift through the universe from planet to planet, pushed on by the solar winds. We adapt, and we survive. The function of life is survival.
Important message.
In spite of all the training I'd had and all the instruction I'd had, that you don't get shot, you may be tried, there'll be a lot of publicity, you may be even be imprisoned for a while, but eventually you'll be released and exchanged. You forget that when you're actually facing those rifle barrels.
Who wrote the Bible? I've seen the nations rise and fall. I've heard their stories, heard them all. But love's the only engine of survival.
And after weekend,
no harm, you nigger!
By marching into neighborhoods that they were not allowed to live in, all over Chicago. And what they elicited from these marches was the kind of blatant, open, violent racism that you see today in Boston, in any city in the United States. By this time, I was a law student, and I joined the National Lawyers Guild. At the height of the student movement, I joined SDS. This was long after I was a student myself. I was elected national officer of SDS and had the opportunity of meeting with the Vietnamese and the Cubans. This experience in particular made me a full-time revolutionary and really changed my own idea of myself.
And you're in a foreign country with no diplomatic mission and nobody there to speak for you.
Go ahead and pet him, watch him grow. Just don't know what guys like.
What do guys like?
Let me show you. There you go.
What's that?
Turned out to be sort of a dead end all the way around.
Your knees tremble and you lose bladder control.
Who can keep straight on these things these days? Just too many things. So much effluvia. Here on the network, the WZ out of Newton in the United States, translated for you by the double click on the left side of the margin there. Just pick out your preferred system sound speak that you've learned. Doesn't have to be a language. Don't get trapped in the old concepts now. You could see this show translated into geometric shapes just for you. Believe me, it looks good in those. I mean, that's what it starts in, you know. That's the native tongue for new metaphysics, the geometries. As translated into wall shadows late at night that I learned and created as I learned, and as I learned them, I created them a long time ago. And then the show is downloaded into the English language with the music sound language to go with it. So everything seems copacetic and all right for around here. Nobody gets hurt. But the very nature of the show demands, almost prophesies, that I, the embedded personality, or a facsimile of same, will self-describe at certain times and certain places, as per regs, Disinformation Central. The funding is king, you know. Don't put down the hand that feeds the silver chalice or anything like that, or you may go home hungry. 90.3. Still. It's a monotony. It's a monologue. It's a never 90.3. Trust me. Cannot possibly be that. That's the radio law. But if you multiply by 2 and divide by the exponential number of your personality frequency, over 100, weave in your name as known by others, and your name as known by yourself. But I digress. The shapes are much prettier. And, cast a deeper shadow, if you will, than this transmission, but in communication, you must touch and be touched in return.
Cambio de estructura social. Una revolución triunfa cuando un pueblo en su inmensa mayoría toma conciencia real de lo que es la revolución, toma conciencia real de los cambios que se hacen y toma conciencia real de los objetivos que se buscan. Ser comunista no es solo tener una actitud intelectual, una actitud racional ante los problemas. Hay que tener un sentimiento en ese sentido. Hay que tener una vocación revolucionaria. Yo tenía la vocación revolucionaria. Si usted no tiene vocación, no es capaz de sentir pasión por algo. Si usted no tiene vocación, no es capaz de luchar ciertamente por algo. Yo recuerdo que el problema del imperialismo mismo lo entendía de una manera propiamente intelectual. Me pasa en cierto sentido como le ha pasado a muchos jóvenes norteamericanos que solo recientemente han tenido una percepción real de los problemas que les ha hecho tomar posiciones políticas determinadas.
Answer the phone. I'll go out and find him.
Hi. Who are you?
I'm Dr. Brake, David.
What kind of doctor? I'm not sick.
I know you're not, but Sergeant Finley said you had a story to tell. A confidential story. Doctors are sort of like ministers. You can tell them anything. So he thought maybe I might do.
Could I see the back of your neck?
What kind of nonsense is that?
Sure you can. Help yourself. All right?
Yes, I guess so.
Well?
I'll only tell you.
Is it all right?
Sure, we'll get along fine. Won't we, David?
Have any trouble, just yell.
No. Well, it started last night. I was looking through my telescope. And that's the honest truth. I know they're under there, but I don't know what they do to people.
But once they're down there, they act differently?
Gosh, yes. If you knew my dad, there isn't anybody like him. Not anybody. But today, he acted like somebody I never saw before. You ask my mom. She'll tell you.
I have the same idea, David.
Then you believe me?
I don't know. It sounds so unbelievable. And yet... You wait here, David.
You're not going to leave me.
No, I'll be right back.
You don't have to lock me in. I won't run away.
I know you won't, but I have to obey the rules.
This sense of continuity with the past. The whole past was there.
You're not happy now, are you?
No.
You're not happy because you're a fox lot, right?
Right.
So say that.
I'm a fox slut.
No, no. I'm not happy because... Say it.
I'm not happy because I'm a fuck slut.
That's right. There you go. But you're going to be much happier when everything is said and done. Now, this is what we're going to do.
Very scary. The hindsight is something I think we all enjoy, and I just wish we could switch it around and use it as foresight. But in hindsight, yeah, if I could go back and change things, I'd have to go back 30 years to 1965 in my senior year and refuse the offer that was made to me by the CIA and take my chances with the draft and have pursued my engineering career. It certainly would have been a better life than what I had. I wouldn't have the memories that I have of the things that I've done to people and countries. And all of it in the name of the United States and under its flag.
Have you been a bad boy? Now that sounds rhetorical. Have you been a bad boy or girl? You. Verb transitive. Talking to you now. Enough said. You get the message. This country wants to punish you. You know that, don't you? You live in the most cruel, aggressive, absolute thinking, blinded country on the face of the earth. You know that, don't you? Oh, you think it's a third world country where they eat dogs and stuff. Or wish to eat dogs, which we would never do. Well, you see, this country is the epitome, the apex, the highest ground, the club paradise of self-delusion. The OJ land. The get a blowjob and forever be punished land. The if he gets a blowjob, I will forever be beside myself with envy land. Of the United States, of unaltered, diverse states, of a hell of your own making, for which an addictive, brain-splattering, chemical drug is your only antidote. Don't you, man?
After your local station's most important message.
That trouser snake. Go ahead and pet him, watch him grow.
Sexual arousal at home recommended for a remainder of broadcast. Stroke them if you've got them.
Big time check. So you're right. We don't use the word hello, H-E-L-L-O. That's two devils talking to each other, say hell. So we drop that. Psychologically, we repudiate the core of negativity's dialogue. In fact, but what's key about the story as the story starts, drinking water comes to a boil, is, in fact, one little sidebar in the story, the guy in Milwaukee says that they had figured out that the water was bad, people were dying and shit, and they were worried about the AIDS patients because it says here that this particular virus, cryptosporitis, a disease that causes flu-like symptoms in healthy people, but is deadly to those with a weakened immune system. So anybody with a weakened immune system, drink the water, could die from the drink. And they know that.
WCBC. Newton.
So would you put up that paint with that paint again? Don't know.
Which is arousing to me, but it isn't necessarily arousal where I need to have an orgasm.
I'm Mrs. McLean.
Well, glad you're here.
I saw Chief Barrows at the bank. He said David was here.
He's here, all right. He's had a little scare. He'll just wait. I'll get him.
Mom! Mom!
Come, David.
No! Stop this foolishness.
Listen to me. It causes enough trouble. Come on.
Just a minute. Sergeant, that boy is not to leave this building.
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Blake from the City Health Department, and your son is in my care.
He is not. Chief Barrows told my
wife... I don't care what anybody told her. The boy stays here.
What has he been telling you?
Newsreel cameraman, and you should have been there, Bernie. It was really.
What did they do?
Had three-stage directional microphones with MOSFET amplifier, my own design. Then we got another 20% conventionally. Just tailing. Paul did. It's beautiful. It really was. It was a work of art.
Years, I didn't even tell my friends I worked for CIA.
You don't know.
I think I will.
Do you think you'd ever want to try, would think someone else?
All of a sudden you're bashful? You, American? I'm on my turf now. I got you up against the wall. I know everything about you. I know all the shades of gray, every key that you play. You play every key I can hear. And I have subliminal auditory skills, just like you.
This particular disease in Milwaukee, you remember when the 200,000 people got sick?
Even when you didn't consciously know that Hoffman was very unsure of himself the way everybody is.
Why do you think we have the problems we have? The problems with confidence, with self-love, with our powers. Because we know about ourselves. We know it all. I'm talking to you.
That's what counts, right? Personality. And that's what keeps the relationship going through the years. Like heroin. I mean, heroin's got great fucking personality.
Swanee taught us to adore and respect the National Health Service, for it was the source of much of our gear. We stole drugs, we stole prescriptions, or bought them, sold them, swapped them, forged them, photocopied them, or traded drugs with cancer victims, alcoholics, old age pensioners, AIDS patients, epileptics, and bored housewives. We took morphine, diamorphine, cyclizine, codeine, temazepam, nitrazepam, phenobarbital, sodium amytal, dextropropoxetine, methadone, nalbuphine, pepidine, pentazocine, buprenorphine, dextromoramide, chlormethiazole. The streets are awash with drugs you can have for unhappiness and pain, and we took them all. Fuck it, we would have injected vitamin C if only they made it illegal.
Watch them fly. I think, yeah, I would love to try.
It's about aliens. We're the aliens, man. We're the savages.
Wait, that song's about that.
Yeah, man, that song's about that.
About aliens.
Yeah, man, you didn't know that? This country is founded. It was founded by people who were in the aliens, man. George Washington, man, he was in a cult. And the cult was in the aliens, man. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, man, they were way into that type of stuff, man.
It's like the every other decade theory, you know? The 50s were boring. The 60s rocked. The 70s, oh my god, they obviously suck.
Come on.
Maybe the 80s will be radical, you know? I figure we'll be in our 20s and, hey, it can't get any worse.
Are you good? These little bugs are in here. How would you feel about what they need? I wish you could.
I care.
He is not. Chief Barrows told my
wife... I don't care what anybody told her. The boy stays here.
I'm telling you. Been reading those trashy science fiction magazines.
For people who are not even in any situation, they can do better.
Oh, Linda, please don't start with me on that.
I'm a fire of my own design. And we got another 20% conventionally. I'm just tailing them.
Paul did.
It's beautiful. It really was. It was a work of art. You should have seen it, though. These new microphones are just incredible. They really... I couldn't really believe it myself. We were over 200 yards away. It was absolutely readable. I broke in a couple newsreel cameramen. And you should have been there, Bernie. It was really...
What did they do?
Well, they took the crosshairs of the telescope and they lined it up on the mouths.
No, the boy and the girl. What did they do?
Oh, I don't know. But it was really beautiful. Really something to see. Yeah. Sounds very pretty. I'd like to take a look at that mic, too. There it is. Well, we said we should be partners, Harry. I mean, I always said you're the best, right? But you and me together, that'd be tops. All I need is a quick look at some of your plans and devices, you know, just to get an idea. I got all the manufacturing plans.
Completely out of control. It may interest you to know, Mrs. McLean, that your son is running a high temperature. His heart action is unnaturally fast.
Idiotic stories.
He still refused to believe it. With a sense of horrible wonder, he reached out and stroked his father's cheek like a child. And the notion that now he could stroke his father's face at will because he was dead and did not know was awful. It strangled in his throat that he could cry out and talk like that, mad and foolish, even though his father was sitting there. It flooded his brain with uncomprehending horror. Without thinking, he wiped the mouth of spittle, brushed back the poor, ragged hair a little, held his hand on his father's head unbelievingly, and kissed him on the forehead with a feeling of gentle, crumbling grief and madness and fear.
I saw him again when he published his first book, The Town and the City, and he was at the downtown department store, the Bon Marché, and autographing his book. And he saw me coming. I bought a book and I wanted him to autograph it. I was in the line. He said, "Hi!" He said, "I told you." You know, but that book wasn't too successful financially, although it's a beautiful book, very, very well written.
Slipping into mediocrity or maybe even to failure. That's why it gets addicting.
It's not spicy enough. And I told him that. I said, "Yeah, you get to add more spice to your writing, you know."
Going, Dad?
Yeah.
Great.
Compared to the Partisan Review Circle, of which I was a fringe member at that time, you know, the Jewish intellectuals and other and non-Jewish intellectuals, we were much more cautious. And of course, that was part of the artistic crime of a period. We had to inhibit so much, which Jack and the rest of the people paved the way for us to release through their work.
It also becomes addicting because often the unspoken is covered over with other kinds of jealousy. Jealousy that's not really very valid. I'm jealous of the fact that you've got blonde hair. I'm jealous of the fact that you're 2 inches taller than me. What are you talking about? See, they're not really what you're jealous of. But those are acceptable, you see. Those are something you can speak, so the unspeakable remains unspoken. And then when you even resolve those that are spoken, you still feel it. You create all these diversions, all these distractions, and therefore jealousy becomes addictive.
Oh, what happens to us?
You'll be born again into an untroubled world.
Creating more things to be jealous of because I might have to face this unspoken jealousy that's been there all the while. I'm jealous of this, but I can't admit that, so I'll pretend I'm jealous of that, that. And I can spend all my time handling that and never getting this.
or not even in any situation, they can do better.
Oh, Linda, please don't start with me on that.
He would want to do better, so don't limit him, is what I'm saying.
Okay, you know what I'll do? Okay, this is what I'll do. I will bring all my little paperwork that I had made up to have my meeting with.
I'm sorry. I've lost you.
Beeman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And show him there and say, this is what I am making, this is what I should be making, this is what I'd like to make.
Stand.
George, you know we can't leave him here. We have to...
Never mind. He can't be helped now.
Mom, too.
That's the coldest pair I ever saw.
They're not. They're wonderful. They're dancing to him. Something awful.
Most likely the submissive would like to have an orgasm. But mine is not important. It's not crucial to it being a real successful exchange.
People don't get interested in this until 25 or later.
Rita Holloman, you've got scoliosis of the spine?
Yes.
You want God to straighten that spine up, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Here it comes. Get ready. How many of you believe that God can perform divine surgery? Here it comes. Here it comes in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. Oh, there it is. That was the power of God that went through her. Stand up on your feet. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. This is the power! Oh, look at that. She's going to get up out of a wheelchair. Woo, God touched her. I didn't even have to pray for her. Hallelujah! She got up out of a wheelchair. We flipped that wheelchair up.
And the intuitive heart. Because the quality of the heart is that it doesn't have boundaries. The way it subjectively knows the universe is it's part of it. It's merged with it all. It's one thing with it all. The mind works on the basis of this and not this. It works on the basis of a... just like a computer works on and off. Yes and no. A binary system. So the heart says, my heart goes out to you. Now love has no boundaries. Love just keeps emerging and embracing. And the mind keeps saying, now wait a minute. See, the heart says, what do you want? You want my money? You want my life? You want anything? And the mind says, now wait.
Her features covered by her fallen gown.
Oh, wait a minute. Tonight's show, just substitute good for the bad and love for the fear. It's just a little editorial help that I require here. This, you know, hardware is kind of fixed. Not doing the show on a software base yet. And it's a single source origin, so just bear with me. Make a substitution at home. And tune in again next Thursday, 10 o'clock. It should be back on track again with the gospel. once again, the Antichrist, perhaps, who must be Jewish, I'm told. And I'm very proud of that. Even though it doesn't make any logical sense to me, but I don't expect logical truths from those people. So I just expect entertainment, you see. And I am not getting enough entertainment. I want better. And I know you do, so just make that editorial red pencil, and I'll see you next Thursday, 10 p.m., for another original episode of New Metaphysics. Probably not already on tape, except, of course, in the future, which does come first, I am told. Get that? It's a little cosmic joke between you and me. So until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Just 1 minute. I'm here to protect your separateness.
David, you're killing us.
That's not true. David's right. Your minds and memories will be totally absorbed. Everything remains intact.
For many years, I didn't even tell my friends I worked for CIA.
I would not deny for one moment that he has indicted some considerable mistakes in our foreign policy, and we've paid the price for it.
I'm being lighthearted. I often call you Jim and give you moral support, so relax. The rest of us are coping with these dark truths by maintaining a sense of humor. Now, the question is, does it take J. Edgar Hoover in ladies' clothes or what? What makes Noam Chomsky laugh? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, my address is easy. It's MIT, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 02139. That'll do. What makes me laugh? Well, I'll just tell you what doesn't make me laugh. What doesn't make me laugh is a 500,000 children dying every year because of the debt crisis, which we could readily relieve. What doesn't make me laugh is 11 million children dying every year because we're not giving them pennies worth of medical assistance. What doesn't make me laugh is U.S. policies which led to the slaughter and devastation of 200,000 people in Central America in the last 10 years and the destruction of the popular organizations there and so on. What doesn't make me laugh is the suffering that Americans are going through as this country is turned into a two-tiered society on the third world model in the interests of corporate profits and corporate power.
Okay, in regard to the problem of the debt, are we speaking here of the federal deficit?
No, I'm speaking of the third world debt. So, for example, Africa, which has, you know, in international standards, a trivial debt, I think it comes to $160 billion or so, which you could wipe out in a second, that's the kind of place where hundreds of thousands of children are dying every year because of structural adjustment policies, so-called imposed by the rich powers, primarily us, forcing them to devote their meager resources export crops instead of domestic consumption and domestic needs. Now, those are policies that could be changed very easily, and that's what doesn't make me
laugh. Let's go to Toronto now. Hello.
It also becomes addictive because it often slips, descends into envy. So it is important to understand of your jealousies, the phenomena and the function. The next unspeakable emotion, that of envy. Now, envy is not acceptable. It is permitted, but it's not acceptable. Have it if you must, but keep it under wraps. Be civilized. That's your envy. It's not acceptable to be envious of somebody, but it's permitted, okay. If you have to, if you must, go ahead, but make it brief. Envy is the dark extension of jealousy. Envy is more insidious. It is more invasive. It is more permeating. Envy hides in the shadows, in the cracks and crevices of your reality. It lies dormant, often for many years. Whereas jealousy is born of competition, envy is born of deprivation. Often it is the deprivation of your past, what you were deprived of, or living a childhood, even an adolescence of deprivation, certainly so. This deprivation of your past often is where your envy is born. But your envy flourishes in the presumed deprivation of your present and of your future. Whereas jealousy, born of competition, is over a limited supply that I won't get what I want. Envy is born of deprivation, and therefore it says, I can't get what I want. You see, you have something, and there's plenty of it. But see, I can't get it, because I will be denied. Everybody else on the whole bloody earth will get it, except me. I will be denied. I will be deprived. It's not that I can't. Well, it is. It's not that I won't get it only. It's that I can't get it. It's not allowed. It's not permitted for me to have it. See, when I'm jealous of you, it's something that I could have, but I won't. Whereas when I envy, I know I can't have it, and I won't. I can't. I'm not allowed. It will be denied me. It will be deprived me. Whereas jealousies are often of things, envy is of things, but also of attitudes. I can be envious of your free spirit. I can be envious of your joie de vivre. I can be envious of your charisma. I can't really be jealous so much of it. Jealousy tends to stick more with the tangible things you have, but I can envy the tangible as well as the intangible. If I'm jealous of something tangible, I think that there's a limited supply I won't get, even though I'm allowed to, even though it's permissible, it just won't happen. But when I envy that tangibility, not only won't I get it, but I won't be allowed. I can't have it. And when I envy the intangible, I feel I can't. It will not be permitted. Maybe I'll be the only one, but I will be denied. I will be deprived. And it's important to understand the distinction between jealousy and envy. Jealousy, yes, envy, more insidious, is based on deprivation of what I will not be allowed to have, what will be denied me, no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, no matter how magical I am. Yes. Likewise, envy produces messages that quickly become programs and laws in the subconscious, but it goes deeper than that. Envy reaches deeper than the subconscious. Envy dips into the unconscious mind, and there becomes laws, dark laws, yes, of how the world works, how humankind works, the nature of reality becomes defined by my envy. It is also important to understand that whereas jealousy becomes more intense, envy becomes more deteriorated. It becomes more destructive. When I envy, it deteriorates to a point, when it's unspoken and unresolved, it deteriorates to a point where my only satisfaction is finding fault in others. My only satisfaction is finding fault in others and relishing in their failure. You've known people who have been so... Oh, that person, I am... Oh, I hope they fail. I hope they fall on their ass and make a... I hope they humiliate... I hope... I want them to fail. They're trying to program for this. They're trying... I hope it doesn't work. Oh, I better not work. They are the ones that you get that. I want them to fail. I want them to fail.
That and many more to you, fellow listener. I'll see you next Thursday. Practice up on your leisure time until then. Relax until it hurts. Or thereabouts. WZBC out of Newton, your friendly station. Low fat, low cholesterol. A lot of minerals, though. Build strong bones. Paul's in. Tinnitus. Take you deep into the unconscious part of the day. And I'll see you on the next time that big wheel comes ticking around.
Ah, they failed, they failed, their programming didn't work. Yes, yes, oh yes. Boy, am I happy. Boy, am I... I am so energetic. Because they failed. So I don't want to say that out loud. I'm not going to talk about that because spiritual people don't say things like that. But in my... yes, I'm... Oh, goody. Their programming, yeah, they fell flat on their face. They wanted that promotion and they didn't get it. Yeah, I didn't either, but I don't care. What was more important is they didn't. They didn't. That's what was important. The envious person... The only satisfaction they get at a certain level, now not immediately, but at a certain level, is in the faults, finding the faults of others, and relishing in their failure. Even when the envious person creates all kinds of success for themselves, it's not enough, not enough, not enough. It's not good enough that I got all that I want. It's important you don't get what you want. See, even if I get the things that I'm sure I can't, even if the things that I was envious of in you, that I have now. I've got all that stuff that I was sure I would be deprived of. I wasn't deprived after all. Still not enough. The only thing going to be good enough is to see your faults, to expose your faults, and to relish in your failure. It's not that I have anymore. That's not important. What's important is that you don't have. That's where envy goes. It doesn't start there, admittedly so, but that's where it goes. That's where it goes. Talked to one once, so envious of another woman. She doesn't know divorce. She doesn't know unhappiness. She doesn't know what it's like to have to worry about paying bills. I wish she would learn one of these days. I wish she would have to suffer what I have been deprived of. That's where the satisfaction would lie, in exposing the faults and relishing in the failure. You see, that's where it happens. When you envy someone, you tend to put them up on a pedestal, yes? Many of you women have found yourself in that unenviable position of being idolized, being, oh, put up on that pedestal, yes? And at first it feels good in the first few times, but then in time you realize up on a pedestal, they're going to have to find your clay feet. And if they can't find them, they'll make them. They got to take you down, not gently. They got to take you down. And to that end, that's what happens with envy. I envy you so, I envy you so, I envy you so. But in time, my envy is going to make me look for your faults, look for your clay feet, and if you don't have clay feet, I'm going to make them clay. And I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take you down off that pedestal, yes. I'm going to take you down. That's why, indeed, sometimes it feels like, wow, somebody envies me. That's kind of neat. That's kind of admirable. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, don't seek to be envied. Admired, yes. Admiration without envy is beautiful. Awe without envy is beautiful. But envy is a very unsafe place. Because when someone envies you, in time, they will become satisfied only with finding your faults. only with taking you down, watching you fail, wanting you to fail. And if someone becomes obsessed with their envy, so they become obsessed with your failure. It's a very dangerous thing to be envied.